welcome to Death Valley Girls Podcast. I'm Bonnie, and I talk to heroes about what excites them, and we also talk about the mysteries of the universe. This week stars a very special friend of mine, Tara Houck. Tara is such an incredible person who has changed my life with her divine tarot readings. I'm super excited for you to hear her story and hear her explain all these mystical musings in such a succinct and truly accessible way. I attached her link in show notes so you can learn more about the services she offers. And now, please welcome to your head and heart, Tara Houck. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing so well, thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming here and talking to me. I want to ask you, what is your name?
My name is Tara. So you can call me Tara. You can call me Tara Houck. You can call me Terrible Rotations. I have all sorts of names.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I realize I've been like going into the introduction of why I asked you to be on the podcast before people know who it is. And then it's like, and then I forget. But so thank you for telling us who you are. And thank you for coming here. And I really am excited to tell you like the second reason why I wanted you to come here. You did like two magnificent tarot readings for me that I think people don't even know what tarot is. I didn't until you did those readings. I had no idea like that it's, yeah, just like basically it was so magical and so insane, and it had nothing to do with the cards. And I think everyone thinks it's all about the cards, but the cards aren't even, they're just there almost, it could be anything, like and you just, it made so much sense to me after your readings. But sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Is I really would have wanted to just talk to you about like how fantastic you wield, you know, universal magic knowledge, splendor, spirit guide, whatever. But I really wanted to talk to you because over the past couple months, I've heard about you just getting in there and really kicking ass with like some real life shit. And by that, I mean, like in almost unbelievably difficult situations, you've come in and just seriously helped your friends out. And I think that it struck me, I'm first talking about Pickle, it struck me when I heard how you just went in there and like laid down the law and figured everything out and organized this situation. I was like, holy shit, that's a king, you know, like that's just like a queen, whatever. That's like, that's royalty, whatever royalty is. To me, that's what it is. It's just like laying down the law. And then you also helped Jenny. And then I asked you, sorry if this is like so much, but, and then I asked you, like, how'd you know how to just do that? Like, it you know, gave me like chills to see someone just go in there and fix like seemingly impossible situations. And you were like, I come from a lot of women that know how to get shit done or something like that. And I was like, whoa, what does that mean? Do you mind talking about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're bringing me to tears because that it's just so special to me to be able to be that for others and to hear it from your perspective really moves me. And because I've had really strong women and people step up for me in my life in the difficult times. And so, yeah, I do. I come from a really strong line of women that literally get shit done. I always say it's king shit. And I'm from...
Oh, no way. Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Tallahassee, Florida. Florida, it's a southern place. All my aunties, my mom, the matriarchs of my family are all very southern women, and they get stuff done in the harshest of environments. We come from poor white people, you know, living in the cracker style houses. And that's my lineage. And so those folks were able to persevere and do some things along the way. And then that was passed down to me and so forth. And then on top of that, I have an incredible spiritual leader who is has initiated me. And so I took some of the things I'd already knew and how to react in times of grief or times of challenge and struggle. And now I'm able to practice in a way that helps progress things forward in a positive way and a supportive way. And that I definitely attribute to my magical teachings.
Amazing. That's so cool. Thank you. That's just so cool. And as far as like splitting it apart into magical teachings versus like what you saw versus I guess like what's inherent in your body. And then there's also like you have your own soul. So there's like four different things working there. But as far as your magical teachings, would you say like that what would you say mainly that that has like does that slow down? Like is it I'm sorry, I guess is does that change your relationship to time or does that change the way you view the outcome or how does your magical teachings like how has that changed you, I guess,
Oh,
in sorry.
that is an incredible question. And it's absolutely changed my relationship to time because prior to having the knowledge of the inner workings of the universe, by the way, which is what magical teachings are able to help you, it's called the lineage that I'm a part of is it started in ancient Egypt and it's become nuanced over the years and incorporated a lot of different elements, but it's a Golden Dawn magical lineage. So I practice at here in LA at 22 Teachings, the Arboretum Mysticum. And what it's given me is sort of like a lighthouse or a guidepost on what I can do as part of the great work. And so it helps you zoom out from a perspective of what is the acute situation that I'm dealing with here? What are the elements at play in the larger, destiny of life, as well as the free will that I have as I interact in these challenges? And it really is a school, we're learning. Life, I mean, is a school. And so, as I relate to time, it's what is it that about this moment or this experience that I'm having that is a part of the greater experience that I co-created with my higher self to come and experience, because that's what I truly believe. So before, it was a lot of things happening to me, and out of a necessary survival, the aunties and the women in my life were teaching me how to react and how to prepare for things that may happen to you. Versus now, I have a greater understanding of the confluence of things. So the elemental nature of things, where the sacred sciences like astrology and theurgy may help with that, as well as how I'm being influenced with the greater egregore, so what we're all experiencing at the same time.
Whoa, that's so cool. And it's like, I mean, I could ask a million questions, but when you like your experience of this body experience, do you think, I know you when you believe in having free will or when that's the way it is, like is there a roadmap for what this incarnation was supposed to do? Or is that, is there, like, how does that work with free will and your, I don't know what you just called it, not your higher self, but your eternal self? Or what is it? Your,
Yeah,
like,
your higher
thing
self,
outside of your, okay, your higher self.
yeah. I mean, it's hard to put the name on things because a lot of this is taught sub rosa, meaning, in secret. And so it's hard to articulate it sometimes because it is just a knowing. But what I believe, what I truly have experienced is astrology is kind of the marker of that, one of the sciences. So there's a multitude of sacred sciences. I practice tarot, which is a part of that. Which is just a divination tool, which you mentioned at the top. You can divine with anything. And then astrology is a piece of that. And that's really just the mathematical timepiece. So that's Mercutian, meaning Mercury, the god Hermes, the communication. When it comes to a roadmap, you really can look at your astrological chart as an indicator of what are the experiences you're going to have. For instance, I'm a Leo sun, Libra rising, moon in Cancer, or moon in Sagittarius, Mars in Cancer. But as I go across the elemental astrology wheel, the first 7 years of my life are going to be influenced or have the flavor essentially of a specific house. And so, yes, there's a blueprint, and yes, there's an experience that I, together with my higher self, to, because I believe we're all just God, and that God wanted to experience itself, its body. And as I'm experiencing that, I go through those influential, almost you can think of it as the weather pattern. So the weather pattern of my life where I'm at right now consists of X, Y, and Z based upon where we're at astrologically. But then within that, in the context of that, I do get to make choices in there. I do get to have a choice of which way I'll go. If my greater good, my Venus is in the 12th house of Virgo. And what that means is the way I love and connect to others is ruled by a judgmental style or perfectionist style. And it's in the 12th house of secrets and loss. And so the way I relate to people in life is through challenges, it's through sorrow, it's through grief. And that's where I
Wow.
expand my love and connection to others is when. So that's kind of makes me a perfect fit for when someone's handling grief. Which is why one of my goals is to become a death doula, because it really is
Right.
in
Yes.
my chart to be a part of that process of grief and letting things go.
That's incredible. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's so cool. 'Cause yeah, also, I didn't, I had no idea what astrology was at all before I saw you. I just, everyone, like talks about it to, not in our circle of people, everyone talks about it and everyone's like, and this, and like the, but also my moon is this and this, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, aren't you just one thing? I don't understand, which is the same way I felt about tarot. But when I went to you, it's just, it really like completely, something shifted because it wasn't, I think people think that it's trying to fit reality into these ways of figuring out reality. But what you're saying is that it's just, it's, yeah, like it's just a mathematical, or how can you say that again? How you explain what, like, because it makes so much sense when you were, or like a divining tool or whatever. It's just like you, I always felt that people were, that had given readings were so focused on the card as being this thing that's going to tell them something instead of the voice or the thing is coming through the card. Like the card has barely anything to do with it. It's just the voice will come through any card, but it's these cards that just ha that, you hear the voice through. And I might be wrong when I'm speaking, but it's like your connection to like the universe is the point. It's not the cards. And but it seems like astrology is more fixed than that. Is that true?
Oh, you're absolutely right. So, I
Okay.
always like to say tarot is you just really talking to yourself.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is it's you already know somewhere inside of you the answers to when you're coming to ask tarot something. And my job as a guide through that is to really help you craft what you're trying to ask or what you as the querent want to know. Because you most likely already know the answer. And so the tarot is a divination tool to connect to your higher self, connect to your guides, to connect to that channel and get inspiration on what to do next or how to best support yourself. But you literally can use anything as a divination tool. I've used rocks, I've used coffee, I've stared into my coffee, I scry. So scrying is just looking into something. You can scry into a rock, like a black obsidian rock. You can really do that in any way. But astrology, however, is very mathematical. It's very fixed. It's very much a sacred geometry, is what astrologists like to call it. There's a many layers of astrology, so it's not just what most people identify it as, their sun sign, and that there are the 12 signs of the zodiac. It goes far more reaching than that. That's why it can incorporate other cultures and their zodiacal view of the stars, because it is, you kind of have to think of it as a 3D spiral. So our universe is spiraling up. And that's
Wow.
all part of that. The astrology aligns and is very fixed, but also not fixed.
Yeah.
That's the thing that it's hard for us as humans to understand, but it's very divine-like in that it is very much fixed, but also at any time or all of the time it's changing because we are co-creating it, right? So God is an active participant. It's not a fixed thing, but there are some rules around the way to work with astrology.
So cool. I'm sorry. I just like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's mean to be like, oh, you're just really good at it or better at it. But I also just want to really quickly note is like, you completely changed my life because I was so hyper focused on this idea of like, without, and I think this might be helpful for people, is without having any knowledge of any of it, I was just like, my sun sign's Virgo, so I'm Virgo. And the reason I'm doing everything I'm doing is because of what people say about Virgos and like this idea that, and like, I don't like that. It doesn't fit. And I can't ever make up my mind because I'm a perfectionist and this and that. And it was like, it didn't feel that true, but I was just like, it's what it is. And then when I saw you're like, all your shit's in Libra. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I can't make decisions because everything is equal. Like, everything, like, if you make one choice now, like, I also have to know what that choice is going to do in the future before I make it. And so it's like I'm like stuck, like, but it that like thinking about it that way instead of just like being uptight like perfectionist like gave me so much more like agency to be like, no, you don't make decisions because you quite possibly overthink things, but it's like that's okay. But yeah, it's just like, and I think that that might be helpful to some people that don't understand why it would be helpful to know this stuff is you kind of like, for anything, the less knowledge you have of it, the le least amount of fun it's gonna be, and least amount of help it's gonna be.
That's a
But
great point. Is that it's if you don't know the full story, it's hard to relate to it. And there are a ton of people out there who feel that they aren't connected to their sun sign. But then when they start to investigate the rest of their chart, it really does feel like a sigh of relief of, oh, this makes sense why this is where I struggle or this is where I really excel. And I
yeah.
wasn't really sure what to make of that because, just spending any time with you, I can tell you're very balanced, like a Libra. And shout out to my astrology partner, Jess, because she was the one
Yeah.
who did your chart. And
Yeah.
she also, she saw a lot of similarities in our chart, you and I. And so she thought,
Oh,
of course, you
cool.
guys would know each other or find each other in this lifetime.
Yeah.
Because you have working to do. And one thing that I think would be helpful for people to think of their sun sign as kind of their ultimate life's great work, like where they will embody by the end of their lifetime. So for
Whoa.
me, I'm a Leo in sun, but I'm not a Leo all of the time. I'm very much a Libra rising most of the time. And that's what I put out into the world as a very balanced Libra, very airy, ethereal spirit. But eventually my guide and my choices are to fully embody that Leo sun spirit. And that's why it may not feel right for some people sometimes.
That's so cool. I think that that's so helpful because I think like any of this type of stuff, and this podcast is just for people like interested in these, this sort of, esoteric kind of stuff and maybe don't know specifically what they're interested in. But I think that, yeah, as knowing this, just like finding some, there's something that will speak to you and something that will help you. And for me, it was like a great relief to understand the I'm not sure why, but to understand why I like I'm constantly seeking justice in like bizarre situations that don't make sense. Like, And just that little thing, but just like I didn't understand like why, what was holding me back, and to just know, oh, it's nothing holding me back. That's just how I view the world. I want, my core wants things to be fair and just and in this scale, and that's just the way it is. And then if I ask myself, like, is that a quality I like? It's like, yeah, actually, it turns out, you know what, I like that. So that was like, you know what I mean? I'm sure most people, if they looked at their, I don't know about most people, maybe, but I think if people look at their chart, I think that they would be like, whoa, like I like those things because that's who they are, right? Do you think?
I mean, that's been my experience is when people aren't really sure and they come into it, they do kind of have that sea change in them of, oh, this does feel right. I have kind of wondered why I've always felt justice. I've always felt a keen eye for justice. And I like to think of it as this is your unique gift that you're adding to the world. So we all need the different aspects of our charts, right? We all need the different aspects in a person because the what we're all dealing with. So the tarot card for this year is strength. It's the key number 8. Then that's Leo. And the challenge of that card is overcoming the material world and being more into the divine world. So we're currently experiencing a lot of grief in the world, and it takes a lot of courage. And that the message for this year is courage. But each one of us have different pieces to that courage puzzle. So yours is justice, right? You and me both have that Libra aspect, and that we're looking towards beauty. The way that we do that is by putting art and beauty into the world, because that's what Libra rules. Then that is the way that you're going to provide that specific gift towards the greater good or the greater work.
That's so cool. Whoa, so this so it feels pretty grievy because it is a grievy year.
Yeah, there's it's a challenging year. It's definitely the key card. We call them keys when they're a part of the major arcana in tarot. And it's an angel type figure with a lemniscate which is just a infinity sign above her head, and she's trying to close the mouth of a lion. And so it's really that divinity over the where we've gotten too far in the humanness of the world. And you could think of that as all of the horrors of hu that humans like to wage war on each other and those types of things. But really coming back to how are we all connected and how what is the interconnectedness of the greater good. And so that's a challenge. It'll be a challenging year for us in that regard. But we all have, again, a piece to that puzzle.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I think that makes sense. Is like, yeah, like even just in a like a near-death experience is like the easiest way to like find the meaning of life, you know, like the sorrow and suffering is like definitely the, I don't know why, but it's the easiest way to like remember the true purpose of this isn't like your bills or whatever. But I guess can like I don't know what like about I don't know about magic practice that much, but I'm curious, like, what led you to find it, if you are okay sharing that, and what it looks like on a daily basis or a weekly or whatever type of basis, because I think, yeah, it's so secret, but it's not, or you know, it's so elusive. I don't know what the word is, but it's like it seems. Yeah, it's so cool. And you speak so like eloquently and you are articulating all of the stuff about the cool stuff. And so I want to know about it, please.
Yes, I'd love to. So I had, a sorrowful thing happen to me in my life. So about 6 years ago, I had a miscarriage.
I'm
And that,
sorry.
yeah, thank you. And that really set off a chain of events in my life that before then I was an atheist and I was very much science forward. And I always appreciated that about my ancestors. I have a lot of scientist ancestors. And so I dabbled in magic. So I was always doing tarot, even as a tiny witchlet, as a teenager back in the day. And so for whatever reason, I was always still drawn to magic, even though I was very staunchly like I don't believe in anything. And then I when I had that moment, I kept having these experiences with that the spirit of the child that wasn't to be, that wasn't going to come in. They named themselves, they gave me a lot of information about them, they gave me a lot of lessons. And I have a there's a bunch of different ways people are psychic, everyone is psychic, but there's a bunch of different ways you can be. And for me, it's just a knowing. It'll be like I've already known this thing forever, and that being kept interacting with me in that way. And so as I was experiencing that, I really wanted to find a path to God or a path to explain that. And so I asked my ancestors for help. And so I was in a trance and my ancestors came to me, and they came to me in a beehive.
Oh, yeah.
And the vision that I saw was someone who he said he was my grandfather, but he didn't look like my grandfather. This was someone who died before I was born. And he said, "You know, bees." He just gave me the answer of honeybees. And I was kind of confused for a while because I thought, honeybees? That doesn't make any sense. But okay. So I started beekeeping because I thought, well, let me try. And then I had some incredible spiritual experiences with honeybees. And then my friend, she said, go to 22 Teachings, which is my magic teacher, Naha. And I was getting initiated with Naha. And I had this knowing come in. And it was my grandfather again. And he said, and it felt like he was taking my head and slamming it on the floor. Like,
Yeah.
hey, doofus, I gave you a path to God. You asked for it. Here it is. You
Yeah.
and he told me, he delivered to me that he was a Mason. And the Masons were the ones who created the Golden Dawn, which is the lineage I'm a part of. And it all made sense. At the time, one of my aunties, I keep talking about my Southern aunties, she was actively dying as I was in, being initiated, and she was a priestess. So it all kind of came together, and that's how I got to this place of being in the Golden Dawn,
Oh,
because
wow.
it was ancestral and I'd
Yeah.
asked for it. And then I did research and turns out he was a Mason. So that knowledge that I got, I came in and started showing my dad symbols of Masons and symbols of magic. And he started recalling as a child, because his dad died when he was a child, he started recalling all of these symbols that he had seen. And he was
Wow.
an alchemist, turns out. So he had honeybees, which I
Wow.
didn't know. My dad
Yeah.
remembered he had this, special sacred tobacco alchemy thing he used for the boys, he and his brothers, bee stings. So it all started to make
Wow.
sense that I was led here by
Yeah.
my shout out to John August, who's now a part of my guardian angel council.
That's your grandpa?
Yeah, that's my grandfather, John
Or
August.
that's so cool. And did your auntie, did she ever tell you that she was a priestess?
Yeah, she was an Episcopalian priestess. So she was
Okay.
in a Christian Episcopal church. And she went so deep that she, learned Hebrew. And so she could read the Bible to
Okay.
her congregation through the Hebrew workings. And
Wow.
when you were around her, you just knew she was communing with God. There was just something about
Yeah.
her where when she passed away, it was very peaceful because it was her going back to where she came from. And I would have been the last person on earth to say that I appreciated like a Christian path to God,
Yeah.
but seeing her do it, because I was so staunchly, anti what the Christian rhetoric has been on a lot of people in this country.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting to have this connection and be like, actually, Jesus Christ was kind of a cool guy, and he was a magician that practiced sex magic.
Yeah, no, I think that's super cool. That's super cool. I mean, and I think it's all the same thing in the end, whatever way you call it. Or actually, that's not true. I don't think it's all the same, but I think a lot of it is the same. Sorry if you can hear there's the poodles like wiggling in the back. I may have to stop for a second and
I
get her up
can't
here.
hear. I can't hear it, but
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's really interesting to me. So that was like around, so this part of your journey, Like this section is 6 years, around 6 years.
Yeah, around 6 years. And then, yeah, you did ask about the daily. I forgot to mention what I do
That's
for the
okay.
daily
No,
magic.
yeah, that no. Thank you for sharing any of it.
Yeah, so I do ritual is really the way that I stay in communion with my spiritual practice. So, one of the ways that I connect with the great work, which is, doing things in service of others, is not to ask for anything for myself, but I do for service. So at the beginning of our conversation, when you're like, how did you know to do these things? It just comes naturally because it's a part of that. It's a part of doing for others instead of your ego taking over and getting so concerned about your own problems. The
Yeah.
acts of service really help. But I do the daily LBRP, which is a practice that a lot of people probably do, which is the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. And that's a part of my practice where I bring in the elements, I bring in angels, I work with specific guides, I connect with Mother Mary, so the original earth goddess that across cultures people have worked with a Mary type entity. So I work with her on a daily basis, and I also do a devotional to the goddess. So every Friday, which is the Venus day of the week, which is the goddess's day, I'll do a devotional to Mary. And that can consist of just lighting a candle or putting, pink flowers or red flowers or Venetian herbs and working with that way. And I've started to work with alchemy. So that's kind of a new thing I've started to do every once in a while. I just did a 28-day alchemy process of a sacred consecrated wine so that I can use that in ritual. So yeah, it really kind of comes in. I'll just get messages sometimes, like my grandparents will say, we need to be fed, and I'll give them a devotional meal. But from a daily hygiene basis, I'll do the LBRP.
That's so cool. And sorry, the poodle is funny. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No
Just
problem.
seeing that, I was expecting to see a mad face, but it was just looking up, smiling. It was funny to me. And as like when you. Like you're learning and you're being taught and it being a school as far as that, is that like loosely organized time-wise, or is that how is that delivered? That is that a secret? I don't know.
No, it's not a secret. I mean, some
Yeah.
of the rituals are secret because they want you to be initiated before you go into that. And that's really just about making sure people are dedicated. But it is a school. You can go sign up for classes. You can go for free. So every week they have the Arboretum Mysticum Lodge. The lodge you can think of as a temple or a church. And you can go to the lodge in fellowship and you can do rituals. It's typically around the sacred sciences I've mentioned. It's typically around astrology, tarot, theurgy, not so much alchemy. I mean, their elements are there, but yeah, it's not a secret. You can go. It's really a school where you can take different classes. So if you want to study a certain science, you can go down that route, or you can just continue and start to learn everything. I went down the tarot route because it was something that I already connected with my whole life. And
Yeah.
I've just been a divine channel, and I've been really, that is my natural talent, is I'm naturally
Yeah.
talented at divining.
Yes, you are.
Well, thank you. But the alchemy is so new and foreign to me, right?
Yeah.
I don't know chemicals. Astrology similar, it's very mathematical. So yeah, so I would you can connect with Naha. She's my teacher. You can do one-on-one with her, or you can just show up to the lodge and DM me and I'll take you to the lodge with me. Sound like a
Yeah.
cult leader.
No, I definitely want to. There's like I mean, I think is it's like claircognizance is when you
Yes.
just kind of know. I feel like I would like to I don't move energy. I don't move energy because I do on tour so much and we're just gone so much that when I'm home I feel the need to be like stagnant, but that's not true. It's just, I don't know, whatever. But I feel like I want to, like, and how that relates to claircognizance is I have that. I always think that I'm like manifesting stuff, but I'm not. I'm just psychic. So then I, when it happens, I'm like, oh, you already knew. But I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I'll tell someone like, this thing happened. I totally manifested. And like, you can't manifest if you don't move energy. But so I would like to go and like learn like what, you know, like some shit to like keep you honest or whatever is like having something. I don't know, maybe other people feel this way, but I feel like I'm just floating around this experience, like super connected to universe and the magic of it and the love and all of that stuff. And then I just forget everything. And I'm just like in the like world experience, just like, and then like it'll just keep hitting me over the head, you know? And it's like, it seems like a lot of the people I know that are magicians, they're like, that's not good enough for me. I want something better. And I feel like I want to be like that. Like, this is not good enough. Like, I want to practice. I want to be a student of the coolest thing around, you know? And that's, you're a student of the coolest thing around. And it's, I think it's no coincidence that it's from Egypt, you know? Like, that shit is so cool. And yeah, do you have a connection to any other lands, like any other places, aside from, I guess, like the South is its own planet for sure. Like I love it there. I love like water. I love places where there's just water and plant stuff. But are you connected to any other land?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So my ancestors, because I'm from the South, my ancestors immigrated from Ireland, Scotland, and England. And so when I have connected with the land, it's been at places like Stonehenge.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so I've done a solstice at this at Stonehenge, and I've connected with the fae and the fairy rings. I went to my ancestral stone circles in Ireland, and I did magic there and interacted with the fae, which I thought was pretty cool, but also very naive of me because they're kind of trickster spirits, or they actually are trickster spirits. And I called them in, and they immediately came. My daughter was with me, and I guess fairies are known for stealing children. And
Oh
she instinctively, we were in the stone circle, she instinctively like chiseled away iron off the stone and put it on her face like a little warrior princess. And I thought, what'd you do that for? And she said, oh, I don't know, it just felt right. And then I looked it up, and iron protects you from fairies.
no. Wow, that's crazy. Oh my
Yes.
God.
So, but Ireland is a holy land for me. I've done a lot of pilgrimages, or on that trip, I did pilgrimages to Holy Wells, because that part of my culture, or like my ancestry, was very important to them. So, like water, like you mentioned, is very important. That's kind of the wellspring. They are devout Mary worshipers there. So the mother goddess comes from the well springs in Ireland.
Whoa.
So I really connected there. And Jess and I, since we work together and do a lot of magic together, we have remembered that we were in the Cult of Magdalen together at some point in Scotland. So that land, when it comes to the Irish, Scottish, and English connection of the stone circles, which is Avalon, you know, that's Mary Magdalene, that is Jesus Christ himself, that's Merlin. That is a connection point for us. And so that's why we do the devotionals to Mary, because of that land.
Whoa, that's so cool. Tell
Yeah.
Jess hi,
I will. I
by
will.
the way. That's super cool. Yeah, I can't imagine. I think my entire head would pop off if I went over there. It's like yeah, I feel like I dream of like that, those kind of like coast scene, you know, the coastal like stuff over there in Ireland. I've never seen it. I don't even think I've seen it in movies. I just I was about to say I can taste it, but I can't taste it. It's just like a thing. But that's super cool. That's amazing. So wow, you've learned so much stuff. Like, and sorry, she's snoring. Do you like, is there any way aside from going with you or going to your school, is there like a book you would recommend people start with if they're like, this is like super resonating with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have two books to recommend. So
Okay.
one, if you want to just get a lay of the land of Hermetic Kabbalah, which is what the Golden Dawn magicians practice, start with the Chicken Kabbalah because it's really funny and easy. It's an easy way to kind of interact with the ideas of the Kabbalistic cross, for instance, or the Rosicrucians. And then I actually brought the book with me. The Mystical Kabbalah by Dion Fortune is the primer. So if you want to know, it's written by a woman, so obviously it's going to be my favorite book, and it's going to
Yeah.
give you a lot of really interesting insight into Hermetic Kabbalah. And she was in a lineage that was from the Golden Dawn, and she actually worked hard to fight against the Nazis. So she did a lot of magic with the egregore of the Nazis in the 40s to
Wow.
try to mitigate the harm. So she actually had real world proof that she was working on deactivating the harm that they were causing. So she's kind of
That's,
a divine spirit in that way.
yeah, that's so cool. Thank you. We can write that in the show notes. And I guess, yeah, sorry. I'm just like, I'm like, I have a million questions, but well, you said that you had some things that you wanted to talk about. I want to make sure
Yeah.
that if there was something that you wanted to bring up that I remember to ask you about it. Is there
Yeah.
something that you wanted to bring up?
Well, yeah, I would say even if you don't read those books, I will
Oh, okay.
say just a plug for the tarot deck itself is a book. It's a loose leaf book. You can think of it like that. And the first thing you should do when you get your own tarot book is throw away the little white booklet in there because you don't need that.
Okay.
And you can just start interacting with the tarot deck and use it as a divination tool like we've talked about. And each card has an elemental correspondence, a planetary correspondence. It's got destiny and free will. It's kind of this really wonderful adventure if you want to read about it. You want to read the tarot that way. And just start by pulling a card each day. And what do the colors look like to you? How do you feel when you look at it? What are if it is just a snapshot of an actual action happening on the card? If you look at the Fool, he's about to jump off of a cliff. What happens after he jumps off the cliff? Those are ways that I think people could start, if they haven't already, working with the tarot as a book itself.
Yeah, that's so cool. Thank
Yeah.
you. Yeah, that's so cool. I feel like you're truly a master. You're truly a master. And I guess if so you said to me before, sorry, I'm like, now I'm changing the topic again, but you said to me before that before today and today, that you're interested in being a death doula.
Yeah.
Do you mind talking about that?
Oh, absolutely. So when I experienced my miscarriage, it was very visceral. It was in my body as well as a mystical experience. And so through that, I wasn't initiated through that death. And I thought to myself coming out of it that that being initiated me, but I would love to facilitate the initiation of death because I have experienced giving birth. So I gave birth to my daughter in a natural way where I was in a trance, and she and I were co-birthing together, and I could feel her come
Wow.
online. And so it, to me, was very much like a rip in the fabric of space-time to bring an earthly, bring a spirit earthbound. And I feel the same way when you are helping a spirit go out of earth and into back into the ephemeral, ethereal. And so I'm really interested in learning how to best facilitate that.
Wow, that is so cool. I need to think about that. That's so cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
you brought a spirit earthbound.
Yeah.
Like
And I do
that.
think birth and death are just this the same coin, just different sides. And
Yeah.
I recently became a birth doula, and so next stop, death doula.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that makes so much sense, and that's so beautiful, and it is just a transition.
Yeah.
But and a quick question just about this is why do you think that we come here? Like,
Ooh.
do you know?
I mean, what I the reason I believe I came here is
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, sorry.
yeah. I mean, I think everyone has their own reasons, but I believe that I am one, I'm a part of Source, and Source wanted to experience itself. And, you know, I don't really get too hung up on the mystery as to the why Source wants
Okay.
to experience itself, because I don't think that honeybees get stuck hung up on the why of why they're
Right.
helping their sisters create the honey, and they're helping flowers continue to grow. I don't think they really think about it. I think that they just wanted, similarly, they're a part of Source, and we are actively experiencing this timeline. I believe there's infinite timelines, and I have consciousness in this one. And so, not sure of the why, and that's a part why I
Okay.
contemplate the mysteries, but I'm pleasantly and curious and open-hearted to the experience of it, even the sorrow, even the sad, and even the hard stuff. And I try to remind myself when it does get hard that I signed up for it.
Yeah. No, that's so cool. I think that's a perfect answer. As we're animals, we're having an animal experience.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter why.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
We're
We're here
doing
now. No turning back.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, I'm so happy that I feel like I learned so much. And you're so beautiful and wonderful. I don't know why, and maybe I don't need to ask. Like, you're just really a great communicator of this stuff. I don't know if you know what it is, but it's perfect for me. And I thank you for all that you have given me and for being here. Is there anything else that you would like to tell the people of the podcast and the people of the earth?
Of planet Earth. Well, before I
Yeah.
do that, I'll say we communicate so well together about this stuff because we've done it before, and we're just remembering when we had our times in the temples together. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Yes.
But
Yes.
I'll just leave with this, that one of my favorite things is when people are struggling to tell them is there's always a way, whether you want in or out. So, if it's oh you want to learn and there's a mystery or you want to be curious about, you can find just start opening your heart and putting it out there, and before you know it, you'll have people say, hey, have you read the Chicken Kabbalah?
Yeah.
And if you want out of something that doesn't serve you, it's the same process. You just start looking for a new way, and that path will show itself to you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Bonnie.
Yeah, thank you. I'll see you soon.
Okay, see you
Okay.
later. Bye.
Bye.